Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Chris Broussard from FS1. He's an NBA analyst, and he's been with us before. Chris, welcome back, buddy. Teke and Tierney, how you doing today?
I'm great, guys. How you doing?
Doing all right,
we
buddy.
We are fantastic. You know, BT teased the Lakers and the Rockets, but let me start with the Clippers. Like, there's so much that's exciting about them, but they're not playing together. And in some regards, it could be looked at as a positive, right, because there's no film on them, so to speak. But at what point do we worry about continuity and Paul George's injury history? Like, where are we at with the Clippers right now?
Yeah, that's a great question, because at some point you do have to get them all playing together at the same time.
Yeah.
And if Paul George is healthy, Kawhi's sitting out every fourth game. If Kawhi's there, Patrick Beverley's injured. It's just ridiculous. Now, I will say this. If Paul George were to somehow be injured in the playoffs, I still think the Clippers, as long as they had everybody else, would be a contender. I still would give them a good shot. You probably favor the Lakers over them if George isn't there. But I think they'd be that good. I think the one guy, if they lose Kawhi, obviously they don't have a shot.
Yeah.
Lou Williams and Pat Beverly are also, I might even, as much as I like Paul George, he's a better player than those guys, those two. I think they may be a little more important to the culture and what they bring to that team. But to get to your question, look, on the one hand, you could say it's a positive because their record is still very strong.
Yep.
Without being healthy, and they beat the Lakers without Paul George once. And when they're healthy, they're 5-0 and play really good basketball. I'm not overly concerned about it, but yes, at some point late in the season, maybe the last month, if you're a Clippers fan, you got to hope that those guys will be on the court together consistently. So you do have some chemistry going into the playoffs, because it's only a small gap between these top teams, and a little thing like not having great chemistry because you just haven't been on the court together could be the difference.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because they started the season playing against the Los Angeles Lakers, and BT and I talked about this, and BT was like, oh, the Clippers just snatched, like,
they punked out. I mean, Chris, you know, he punked out.
Snatched it away, that game one. But since then, like, this lack of consistency on the Clippers side it's a stark contrast to this extraordinary consistency on the Lakers side. And so, like, they're coming to a head. This is going to be something significant. But is that important? Is it important that the Lakers have done this? And I think it was intentional, like LeBron playing heavy minutes and like really fighting to win every single one of these games that they secure the number one seed. Why? It doesn't matter because they're in the same building. But you know what I mean? It feels like this is important to the Lakers, but maybe not so much so for the Clippers.
Well, yeah, the Clippers certainly. And that's what you guys are probably seeing reports where there was maybe some chemistry issues within the Clippers team and organization. And really what that boils down to is a complete shift in culture. Whereas last year when you had a bunch of role players, every possession counted. I mean, those guys fought not just every game, but every single possession. Now you bring in two stars, and one of them's always hurting, Paul George. The other one is like, none of this matters. Get me to May and June, and we'll work it out. And so that difference in culture has been a little bit of a problem with the Clippers, and ruffle some feathers. Not to the point where I think it's going to be too damaging, but certainly that's an issue right there at this point. For the Lakers, I like, obviously, that they're respecting the regular season. I liked that Anthony Davis, and I think this is largely a credit to LeBron James. He's got AD playing through these injuries. You guys know this. You've watched AD over the years. If he were still in New Orleans, he would have probably missed 20 games by now. Because he's literally, he would have sat out.
Yeah.
You know? And
LeBron won't let him, right? LeBron won't let him do that.
LeBron's toughening him up. Now, here's one thing I will say that I don't like about what the Lakers are doing. If I feel like the AD is the key to the series with the Clippers, assuming those two meet in the conference finals. Because while LeBron is going to play great, he's LeBron, Kawhi and Paul George can kind of answer what he will give the Lakers. They don't have an answer for Anthony Davis. Nobody can stop him inside, and if you put a big man on him, he can take him outside. But his fourth quarter numbers are astounding. He's only playing like 6 minutes a game in the fourth quarter. He's averaging about 4 points in the fourth quarter and about 3 or 4 shots. So if I believe the Lakers need to start playing him more in the fourth, if you have to give him a break in the third, fine. They typically play him the whole third quarter. Give him a break in the third, play him most of the fourth, and get him used to taking shots, because the shots aren't always going to be there for LeBron, because he's going to have Kawhi or Paul George defending him. AD has got to begin to develop the mentality of being a go-to guy down the stretch. He hasn't really been that throughout his career, and he hasn't been that this season. So I believe that Lakers are making a mistake by not focusing more on AD in the fourth, even to the point where if you got to force feed him and maybe it costs you a game or two. I don't care. I want his mentality to be, I am taking over in the fourth, and nobody can stop me, and I haven't seen that yet.
Okay, so we're talking to Chris Broussard, FS1 NBA analyst. Chris, I want to jump over to Philly here. I got to run something by here. I said this today. So Ben Simmons at LSU was one season in college, 32 games. He took 3 threes. He made 1, okay? As we all know, he's out for his rookie year, hurt his foot, didn't play, comes back, wins rookie of the year. We're just about 3/4 of the way through his third actual playing year, but fourth as a pro. So he's played almost 3 full seasons in the NBA, and he has made 2 threes. So he entered the league incredibly deficient. And listen, I say this, everybody regurgitates the notion that he doesn't shoot. I understand. Everybody knows that. What I want to throw at you is, I want to directly put the blame on the doorstep of the Sixers organization, because they knew what they drafted, couldn't shoot, didn't want to, and they have the same guy almost 4 calendar years later. To me, that's on the Sixers as much as it's on Simmons.
Well, look, I think you can put some blame on the Sixers, but I think the lion's share is on Simmons. If a guy doesn't want to work on that aspect of his game, and he's that level of superstar, and you paid him that much money, he's your number one pick, what can you do? I mean, you look, because he's represented by Rich Paul. He's in, you know, LeBron is right there in his ear as well. And they want him to work too, but he's not doing it. Now, it looked like last summer that he worked on his jump shot. You know, he posted all those videos and this and that. But then he doesn't shoot him in the game. There's some type of mental block there.
Yeah, that's what BT said.
There's no question about it. And I get what you're saying, because, you know, we're old school, where the coach makes you do something you need to work on, and if you don't do it, he benches you. But, you know, he can't really do that in today's NBA. It is very disappointing, because we've seen guys. I mean, Giannis, for goodness sake, he's not a great shooter at the three-point line, but he's decent, and his stroke is not – as bad as Ben's is, his stroke is smoother than Giannis's. And Giannis has worked on it and improved. Zion has shown a little bit of improvement from college. You can clearly work on your shot. Jason Kidd showed us that. But that's why it's clear there is some type of mental block there, which is disturbing, and that's something you have to look at going forward with Ben Simmons too.
Are you worried about his back, by the way? Is that a big problem, or you don't know yet?
Yeah, I mean, you don't know yet, you know, but it could be a disc issue, which can, you know, heal. A lot of times that heals on its own. Anytime it's the back, you get scared. I would tend to think it's not anything too serious at this point. But it makes you – what it does is, obviously, if he's out for a significant amount of time, it obviously hurts you for this year. But I also think it hurts you going forward, because if they go out early in the playoffs, now I, like I was saying, if they go out early in the playoffs, I'm doing one of two things. I'm firing Brett Brown and bringing in a coach that I feel very confident can maximize Embiid and Simmons together. And if the coach can't do it, I know they just can't play together. Or the second option is I'm trading Embiid. I think if Simmons misses significant time, now I don't think you could trade one of them. I think you want to see them together a lot longer because before you trade them, because obviously you're giving up a lot if you break these guys up. So I think now your only option, if they have a disappointing postseason, will be to bring in a new coach, which might be fine, but they gotta, like, I just think it sets back the process of, do we move on from one of these two guys, or do we, you know, because can we win with them?
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to see them enough together.
Yeah.
And also, Simmons might become, his market value might lessen if the back injury is serious.
Yeah, no, you're right. But again, he's already been paid 5 years, $170 million. The back end of that deal in 2025 ends at $38 million a year for Ben Simmons. So he best not need a backiotomy, so they like to speak. Houston Rockets.
We've seen great players that were young, you know, whether it was Derrick Rose, Penny Hardaway,
yeah.
Grant Hill.
Great point.
We've seen, like, superstars in the making get injured and never, you know.
Larry Johnson.
Larry,
right.
Yep. So it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, you're right. All right, the Houston Rockets, I've started to become infatuated with them because I feel like this be small, be wide ass open, nobody even close to the lane has opened up and really unlocked Russell Westbrook, who had a great game last night, albeit against Memphis Grizzlies, who are on a serious slide right now. But are you buying this as much as I'm buying them right now? I know it's still some challenges they're going to face, especially against some of these bigger teams in the postseason, but if they get seeded correctly, I mean, they might find themselves right in the Western Conference Finals against teams that they can beat.
Well, I'm buying them as the third best team in the West now. You know, I'm not buying them as a championship team. I mean, I'm not buying them as being better than the Lakers or the Clippers. Could they – do I say they have absolutely zero chance of upsetting one of those L.A. teams? I wouldn't go that far, but I think the chances would be minuscule that they could beat the Lakers or the Clippers. But look, I think they were better suited to win a championship with Chris Paul and Clint Capella. Remember, they were just, I mean, they had the Warriors down 3-2.
That's right.
And Chris Paul gets hurt. So I think that was a better team. But once you made the deal and got Westbrook and let Chris go, I think this was the best move they could make because, as you said, they opened up the lane for Westbrook really for the first time in his career. And now he can just drive to the lane. He doesn't have to shoot threes, which he was horrible at.
Yep.
And Harden can still do his thing. So they are much more of a 1-2 punch, much more of a both Russ and Harden's team now than they were a month ago. A month ago, it was Harden's team clearly, and Russ kind of just got in where he fit in like the rest of the guys, whereas now – both of them are able to maximize their ability. So they are better. I just don't buy them beating one of the L.A. teams, though.
You tell him, Chris. You tell him. He's getting
I'm not even saying that they're a favorite. I'm just saying they're fun as hell to watch.
Yeah, that's what he's just not
sure. They're a hoot. They're a hoot. I give you that.
A hoot? That's what my father-in-law says. But you're from Indiana. That's a Texas word. A hoot. Chris, good work, brother. Thank you very much.
All right, guys, anytime.
Thank you, man. Chris Broussard, FS1 NBA analyst.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.